Music has a special way of touching our hearts in ways many things cannot. And if you're tuning into this podcast, you probably think so too. On each episode of Classical Post, we uncover a creative mind behind music we find particularly exceptional. Coming to you from New York, Classical Post is created and produced by Gold Sound Media, a marketing and PR agency for the performing arts industry. I'm your host, Jonathan Eifert, creative director at Gold Sound Media, and I hope you find something inspiring in this episode.
Hello, is this Jonathan?
Yes, a good name, right?
Yeah, it'll work.
It will work. Well, welcome to the Classical Post podcast. Let's start off. Share the story behind one of your most significant performances.
Okay. So I was one of my first kind of bigger European performances took place at the Deutsche Oper Berlin. And I was asked to sing the role of Paolo il Bello from Zandonai's Francesca da Rimini. And I was offered the role actually when I was pretty young, maybe around 30 years old. And I immediately jumped on it because I thought it was, I knew the story. And I thought it was a good challenge for me at the time. As I was preparing the role, I was noticing how heavy and difficult the role was. And I almost pulled the plug on the whole thing because I felt like I wasn't ready to do it. Actually, COVID came along and I had about an extra, had an extra 6 months on my plate of free time. And I used that to prepare this incredible opera role that I adore. And working with Christoph Loy and how he kind of brought this this amazing Dante story to almost a timeless production where, you know, you don't really feel like you're in any certain point in time. And to perform this very dramatic role at the age of maybe 32, it really was a kind of an eye-opening experience and an exciting possibility for me to perform other dramatic repertoire in the future. Because at that time I was really only singing things like Rodolfo and Alfredo, much more lyric repertoire. But to get a taste of the Verismo, it hooked me immediately.
That's so interesting. So are you saying then it wasn't necessarily just your most significant performance, but it could also have been a pivotal moment in your musical direction or one that influenced your musical direction?
Definitely. I think it was really also the first time I really worked with a really great a director and somebody that can really bring out my characterization and then also help me understand characterization of my colleagues better than I kind of understood before. So working with him, it really challenged me, but it was the thing that was kind of missing in my presentation. And from then on, I used a lot of, you know, the tools and ideas that he gave me for this production.
Let's switch gears and talk about your new album. Congrats on this Deutsche Grammophon album, The Great Puccini. It's just fantastic. I listened to it recently, but also I had heard your album, I think the year before, was that Arias, I believe. And that was also incredible.
Well, thank you. Just trying different things out and seeing what sticks, I guess.
Tell us about why you chose to record this specific body of work in this album, The Great Puccini.
So actually, we purposefully didn't really include a lot of Puccini on the first album, or we included, I think, the shortest Puccini aria we possibly could on the first album because we had the idea to do a centennial Puccini recording for the second album. Express my journey with Puccini, which is really my first composer that I sang the tenor repertoire with, to kind of show the development of my voice and the roles that I've been working on And then show some of the roles that will come in the future. You know, I felt like it's coming at the right place in the right time. So this album was really an exciting project because I felt like I'm kind of like right in the middle of all these Puccini roles that are going to be presented over the first 10 to 15 years of my career.
Yeah. It's just incredible. And I really hope our listeners listen to this album because it really is awesome. And like I said, having heard, I believe it was your first album, I thought, yes, this is going to be, you will be a huge hit. So I'm thrilled that you have this second album out. Now tell us about the two very big Met Opera productions you're starring in, La Rondine and Madama Butterfly this spring.
Yeah, so we've opened up La Rondine about, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. It's a beautiful production, and it's kind of a 1920s inspired storyline. But La Rondine is really, you know, I can't really say that's it's a complete opera. It's more of an operetta. Ricordi didn't want anything to do with it, and Puccini found a way to get it published anyway. But it's certainly not your, you know, run-of-the-mill Puccini opera where you have death and pain and anguish all wrapped in one thing. You know, I think it's a much more sophisticated story with extremely sophisticated characters. And I would also say a very sophisticated score. It really takes more than one attempt hearing or watching it to really get to capture everything that Puccini is trying to deliver in a really short time. The opera's only 2 hours and change long, so you need to come and see it a few times to grasp what Puccini's trying to tell you.
If we think about how you want to be remembered in the world of classical music, what would you say to that?
Well, just to be remembered would be nice, but I guess if it's for one or two particular things, you know, I'd really like to be, you know, remembered as somebody that cared for the artistry of not only the music but the characters that this music represents. You know, they're supposed to be, maybe not realistic, but they're supposed to be human, and they're supposed to be full of emotion and everything that embodies humanity. And I think that the music is just the vessel that allows us to feel those emotions. And I want to be one of those people that can really bring those things out and make and help other people understand and feel what these special characters feel. In general.
Let's do a quick fire round. So I'm going to ask you a series of questions and just answer kind of a short answer that comes to mind first. If you could collaborate with any artist, dead or alive, who would it be?
I would like to collaborate with Arturo Toscanini.
If you could go back in time to witness any historical musical event, which one would you choose?
Maybe Beethoven's Fifth, the debut.
What's your musical or non-musical guilty pleasure?
I would say my musical guilty pleasure is, you know, I really love the crooners. I like Andy Williams. I like Frank Sinatra. I like Perry Como. You know, I like all this, you know, great American crooning, easy listening stuff.
If you weren't a musician, what profession would you be in?
I can't see myself being anything but an opera singer, to be honest.
Which movie do you wish you could have composed the soundtrack for or performed on it?
Maybe Interstellar.
Let's pause for a second. Are you an artist or work at an arts organization? I founded Gold Sound Media to help you expand your audience through social media. My team and I work closely with clients around the United States, directly shaping their messaging through customized strategic content. One of our biggest success stories is our work for the Clyburn, where we drove 25 million viewers, making it one of the most watched classical music events of all time. Get in touch to speak with me directly about how Gold Sound Media can help you. Just head to goldsoundmedia.com. Now, back to the show. What's the first thing you do in the morning?
First thing I do in the morning, I ask my 2-year-old daughter if she had a good night's sleep.
Which city in the world inspires you the most?
I think Berlin.
What book are you currently reading or would recommend?
I just finished Caruso's biography, biography by his wife. I would recommend reading that.
Which historical figure would you love to have dinner with?
Alexander the Great.
What's your go-to comfort food?
That's easy. New York pizza.
Is there an unusual or rare instrument you'd love to learn to play?
I would love to learn the instrument of the bass voice.
And last question, what non-classical music or artists do you love and why?
Van Gogh. It's a ultimate expression. It's just like it pierces your soul looking at his art.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Classical Post. If you loved it, give us a 5-star review as it helps us reach more people. Also, remember to hit that follow button in your podcast app to get notified of new episodes.